Then verse 15. That from a child, and that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So we said that the doctrine of salvation is not a minor issue, it's actually the most prevalent doctrine in the epistles. It's from there you have growth. When Peter wrote 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow in salvation. That's the word thereby. 1 Peter 2:2. That you may grow in salvation. So 16 says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He explained that to mean that teaching achieves persuasion and strengthening of that persuasion that leads to spiritual development. Now let's look at something, a consistent thing that we need to realize. In the ministry of Jesus, in the four gospels, you will discover that he had statements of assurance, and then he also had statements of correction and rebuke. Some of them could be very strong. For example, look at Matthew 17. Both assurance and rebuke. Matthew 17. This is not even upon his resurrection. Matthew 17, verse 17. O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer? You bring him here to me. And he asked him, why couldn't we do it? He said, because of your unbelief, when they couldn't cast out a demon. He called them perverse. And that was corrective in nature. He didn't change the fact that he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He had words of assurance, and then where their conduct was out of line, he will point it out to them with very straight words. Same thing he did in Luke 24:25. Oh, fools and slow of heart. So there was rebuke in the things he said, and there were much words of assurance. So that's consistent, you know, with the character of how Jesus related, even with his own disciples. And that's important to note, that rebuke or to chasten is not an absence of love or relationship. In fact, it is the presence of a relationship that brings about rebuke and chastening. That's very vital that we don't lose that. Now earlier on we looked at the word overcometh, but let's see something Paul highlighted. 1 Timothy 4:1. Our warnings, or can we call those letters warnings? No. You just say they are letters of discernment. Right? Is that correct? Discernment and exhortation. Not warnings as to danger, but discernment and letters of correction. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now, the Spirit speaks expressly, this is Paul speaking, that in the latter times, now is this from the Old Testament? No, this is obviously revelatory utterances. So that means revelatory utterances are part of the church. And I say it often that some guys will say, well, they don't believe in saying this is the year or something. I think they are just being extreme. Not just extreme, being funny. Truth is, the Spirit of God, just like Jesus did tell the church, which church was that? Was it Thyatira? No, it can't be Thyatira. The church that he said they will endure. Is that Philadelphia? Huh? Philadelphia? That they will cast them into prison. Alright, thank you. So, that obviously is to reveal something that's gonna happen. And that's not to the body of Christ. Are you there? You can see that the way things were pointed out, what the Spirit said to Laodicea was not what was said to Smyrna. So can we have revelations of the Spirit unique to a local church? Can we have that? Excellent. And it must therefore not carry the weight of doctrine like all other letters. Do you understand that? No, we said that there was a step down on doctrine, which is what happened here. A step down. It is still an epistle to the church. It will still teach, but there was a step down. It's not like the typical epistle that we read. They didn't read those letters into them were not for them to understand the finished work of Christ or to understand who they are in Christ. No. There was assurance in it, but it didn't carry the same weight as many of the letters. So those things were, you know, pointed out. So when Paul says that the Spirit speaks expressly, the word there is the Greek word rhetos, R-H-E-T-O-S. It means many words. That is to say something over and over again. So that means there's no limitation to pointing things like this out. A lot of times, like after now, that's what it means. Some shall depart. Apolustemi in the Greek, apistemi, sorry, A-P-H-I-S-T-E-M-I. Some shall depart from the faith. The doctrine. And it's talking about, you know, they depart from the teaching, from the word, from the message. And they will give heed to seducing spirits. That means, not only that they departed from the faith, what they have believed, and they now gave heed to. Which is, they paid attention to seducing spirits. What is planao? Planao means that which causes you to err. Can a believer err? Can a believer hear doctrinally? Does that mean he has lost his salvation? No. So the air. He said to this spirit and doctrines or teachings of devils. So the same way he told Galatia that they were so soon removed. It doesn't mean they were not saved. They are saved. They are born of God. They have the Holy Ghost within them. But they are so soon removed. Because he mentioned that they were troubled in their heart. Taraso means they are agitated. So that means what makes a man depart from his faith, from the faith, is his understanding. And so it now makes sense to tell them to repent. You get it? Because that's metanoia, which means change your understanding or refocus your understanding. To repent. So the focus here is on teaching. So you discover that in Paul's letters to Timothy as well. Now, look up now. See Paul's letters to Timothy similar to this. You know, he asked Timothy to speak to the church. And you won't find much of who you are in Christ in those two letters. In fact, it is laden and loaded with rebuke and correction. Are you there? So, it carries almost the same weight as Paul's letters to Timothy. Don't forget again that letters to the churches were to be, the instruction was to be carried out by who? The angels, the messengers. Are you there? Are you following me? So, it means that it was more of seeing something that is contrary to the doctrine than correcting it. So, Paul's letter to Timothy was focusing on doctrine. A correction on doctrine. So, it means this. Look up. That the watchfulness of a believer to doctrinal matters is a lifetime thing. As soon as you are born again, we begin to knock the need to stay on the gospel. In its simplicity, you discover that what was going wrong in the churches was the departure from the simplicity of the gospel. Now when you say simplicity, it's not simple, like just saying A for apple, B for ball. No. Simplicity means that it is the same thing. It's a one-sided story. It's not twofold. The minute you begin to bring in a family altar, what else? Anointing oil. I say it's a spirit. Feet washing, comb. That comb thing, I'm particular about it. Because, no, I'll tell you why. I watched where the general assembly of the Jews presented to God, and where he said, and that was what got my attention. I didn't have a problem with him giving out combs. He has given out more things to his church. He now says that this comb, that if you, that whatever you use it for, it will solve your problem forever. That is a lie. How would you say that? Forever. And people are saying, people's sins are forgiven forever. You say they are preaching false doctrine. This one, we didn't say a comb did it, we said Jesus did it. But you prepare to say a comb will do something forever. No, that's rubbish. With due respect to the man. And he gave them the combs. That was not even what was most annoying. He now said, keep it. That Satan is after this comb. It's not funny. Satan is not after the believer. Comb! That they should keep it forever. That is not just a false doctrine. It's a doctrine of devil. Do you understand? Doctrine of devil. And I woe to God, if I see him, I'll say it to his face. I'll look at him like this, sir, you preach an heretic doctrine. I love the man, I respect him. I do, I really, I respect him. But I don't respect what he said. What he said is a doctrine of devil. And he knows. He knows God didn't tell him. I know the devil did not tell him. That's vital. It's just another way to hold people. So when you don't have the gospel, you keep rebranding. This year it is bottle, next year it is cloth, the next year it's comb. Maybe the coming year it will be beans. Some of you like beans, you are happy. Of red plantain. For me, it's rice. I'll go with you. Just say, as you take rice, I'll follow you to heaven. So open your eyes. Let me leave you. Anyway, so Paul says they are so the people are those who have believed the gospel. Preachers now say they now begin to forbid to marry. They begin to give instructions, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron. That means the conscience was good till now. So false doctrine will sear your conscience. You will even feel that what you are doing is wrong again. You have written books on it. You have built empires on it. Yet people, you have departed from the gospel. And you know this thing can form a denomination. Are you aware of that? That can stay for thousands of years. That something will last long, for long, doesn't imply that it's from God. Are you there? And that somebody is wealthy. Is that not clear to us now? Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, which God has that created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. So that means they begin to give instructions as certain things to believers. So he says, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused to be received with thanksgiving, for it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou shalt put the brethren in remembrance of these things, which things? You put the brethren to remember that some have departed from the faith. Is that very clear? He says you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. You don't have to be popular, but you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto you have attained. Look at 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables. Exercise thyself unto godliness. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? That is why he will tell Timothy in verse 16, he says, take heed to yourself and to your teaching, that you will not just save yourself, you will save those who hear you. Are you there? So, how do you know those who have departed from the faith? They have not left, they are in Christ. How do you know them? By what they teach. What they emphasize. Are we together? So the opposite of a false doctrine is verse 6. What's verse 6? Nourished up in the words of what? Faith. Faith in Christ alone. And of good doctrine. Faith in Christ alone. The word doctrine of devils is doctrine of demons. Faith in Christ alone is good doctrine. So let's go back again to Revelation 2. So that means we can proceed by revelation. Paul says this is going to happen. They will depart from the faith. They will depart from the message. They will depart from the doctrine. So that was revelatory utterance. That look, this is going to happen. Some will depart from this. They will leave the message and believe something else. They are born again. Don't ever forget that. And they will deprive believers of the things that God has said they can take. Okay? Is that okay? Is that clear? Let's go back. So the Spirit will speak. I will make mention of that. Remember Brother Higgin did have to say this. Brother Higgin is a prophet of God. Doesn't mean everything he says was right. He said was correct. I mean, Brother Higgin will always say this, that whatever he says, check it with the scriptures. If it's not there, don't believe it. He has said that so often. In fact, if there's any reason why I respect him above any minister I know, it's for that singular purpose. He has never weighed his own words or his visions above the written word. He says it so often. I had a chance to even talk to those people who taught under him. He said that's his approach. That he had people within their Bible schools that, you know, they would false a few things he would say. I didn't have a problem with it. You know, so it's not an issue. You know, and so such a man is someone I value and I respect. And I often say that he inspired many of us, myself inclusive, to respect the written word. I mean, that was important for us. So Brother Hagin will say, I mean, he did have a vision and he did speak as a prophet many times to point the attention of the church, for example, to the materialism gospel. He did. But, I mean, and that's just the same way Paul said, the Spirit speaks expressly in these latter times. Some shall depart from the faith. And very vital. He did give a warning about those that have the anointing of God on their lives, as he said it, and he particularly mentioned the healing ministry. He said they will lose it because of money. He said that emphatically. And Paul said the same thing. John said the same thing. Peter said the same thing. You know, it's all over the scripture. So, it's not a revelation unique to him. It's just consistent with the written word. Am I making any sense here? Good. So, Revelation chapter 2. And you know, you don't know a money gospel by what you buy. It's what you preach. It's what you preach. So you may not even have what you are preaching about. Do you understand? You may be a money gospel peddler and you don't have money. Because it depends on how it works out for you. So a guy just makes sure you don't have it, you can never have it. Because you know, those tricks are used for time. If it has expired, and you are using an expired fire, they've left this one since. They have moved on. this one is expired. It can't work. They use this in, maybe it's used in 2014. They're now bringing out 20. This one has gone. You know? And that's why people that preach money gospel, they rebrand. If you observe it, they rebrand it. Now, second, I'll read on to, okay. Do you see something consistent also, verse 7? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Which means that we should listen to what he says to the churches, not to one. So to all the seven, we are given an instruction to listen. What he says to the churches, not just to one, but to the churches. The word he uses here is the word akouo, A-K-O-U, akouo. It means perception. Let him that has an ear, which you do, ohus, O-U-S, hear. Now, metanoia means to change what you think. Let him that has an ear says, look, you need to understand. That's not a change of understanding. That's, you now need to understand what he says to the churches. So the perception is your responsibility. Notice he didn't say what he said, what he says to the church. So when John documented this, he expected all the believers at that time to take note of it. So now let us qualify. So we can say confidently that what John says here, because John is the one that eventually said it, what John says here can be classified as an utterance, right? The words of this prophecy. So let us see how a prophecy must pan out. 1 Corinthians 14:3. Prophecy is for who? Huh? Good. So a prophecy is not for Nigeria. That's why those 7 letters were not to the false teachers. They were about them, but to the church. Does it make sense to you? So it is to the church. What does it do to the church? It brings edification, comfort, and exhortation. 1 Corinthians 14:3. Edification, comfort, and exhortation. The word edification is the word oikodomio. It means to be founded. Then you have, which is consistent actually, then you have the word exhortation and comfort. The word comfort is the word parakaleo. Parakaleo, to call someone to yourself. So, prophecy can call your attention to something. Or, for edification. And then exhortation is like to admonish someone. Almost close to encouraging. So, let us place John's letters. Does it fit into edification? Right? Why? Does it call our attention? Does it put our attention on the risen Christ? Does it? Exactly. So those 7 letters are prophetic. They are words of prophecy because they place our attention to Christ. Just like Paul's 1 Timothy 4:1. They place our attention on Christ. Even when there's a revelation, 1 Corinthians 14:25, the secret of his heart and made Pharisee will report that God of a truth is in your midst, is with you. 1 Corinthians 14:25, that's an unbeliever. So notice what we do with these prophecies. 1 Timothy 1:18. Okay, I mentioned that earlier. We can have prophecies about the church, but it doesn't carry the weight of an epistle. You know why? This one is from a foundational epistle. We'll rather judge what we hear today by what was heard. Does it make sense what I just said now? Good. 1 Timothy 1:18. Prophecies have gone before on thee, that with them you may wage a good warfare. You also had Jesus tell Peter, John 21, about the kind of death he will die. In those 2 instances, you have a role to play. You could choose not to die that kind of death. The churches could choose not to take what he has said. On no occasion will be the obedience or disobedience of the prophecy remove or add to your salvation. Just like Peter. Just like Timothy. 1 Timothy 1:18. So giving heed to a prophecy or not giving heed to a prophecy has nothing to do with the fact that a man is saved. Acts 9:15-16. I will show him great things which he must suffer for my name's sake. Did Paul have a choice to suffer or not? He did. In fact, in Acts 20:22, he said, well, the Holy Ghost has testified that great things, heavily wicked, terrible things await me. He said, but none of these things move me. I don't count my life there. Acts 20, 23 and 24. I'll preach the gospel of the grace of God. So by Acts 21, when they again by the Spirit pointed out to him what was going to happen, both the disciples in Acts 21 verse 7, and then Philip's daughter, and then Agabus, he said, no, don't break my heart. I will go to Jerusalem. I don't mind to die. So that means you have a duty to those revelations, to those prophecies. The same thing with all the churches. That's why John will say, let him that has what? Hear. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, not to the world. To the churches. So, is that very clear? Okay, good. So now we want to look at the word overcome. That's what we benched the last time. We said the word overcome is the word nikao. It means victory. Nikao. 14 times you have the word nikao. It means victory. To overcome. Nikao is used for a battle. Or a war. Let's see other places where it was used. May I quickly point your attention to something? Revelation 2, verse 7. He that overcometh will I give to eat. Did you notice that the word he that overcometh, let's see something. Look through the word he that overcometh and see something consistent in all the churches. Quickly, do an observation check. Look at all the seven. Something, in all the letters, something is consistent. Who can tell me what you have seen? Did you notice that instructions were given to each church that was distinct? But when he came to he that overcometh, he said, that's for all the churches. Let him that has an ear hear what the Spirit says to all the churches. So what is the Spirit saying to all the churches? Okay, let's say it again. What is the Spirit saying to all the churches? He that, is that consistent? I give to him. So in other words, what is common to all the churches is what? What is common to all the churches? The works? No, the what? It's simple now. What is common to all the churches? He that overcometh. Right? All the churches. So what is common to all the churches? What is common to all the churches? Okay, I will give two. So that means that whatever you read, that when it speaks to Ephesus, he that overcometh, I will give, is not for Ephesus. That means it has nothing to do with their works. Do you understand? Let me see if that's clear to you. Let's go over it again. At the end of every letter, he now speaks to all the churches, which includes the one in Lagos. Do you understand? He said, he that overcometh, I give to him. The one I will there, let me just quickly mention that. The word I will is Old English, which was misleading. It puts it in the future tense. Whereas in the Greek, it is I give. The will is silent. You can put I have give. I shall give. I might give. Or I can give. Or I give. The original is I give. Because the word is didomi. I grant. When you use didomi, didomi is to offer. So it is offered. So that domi is not a reward. Is that very clear? Is that clear? Is that very clear? That domi is not a reward. That's why he said, this is for all the churches. Does that include our Laodicea? All the churches. Hear what the Spirit says to Laodicea. So, what kind of statement is that in doctrine? Is that for growth or assurance? Very good. I give. So, let's examine that. Is that very clear to you? Okay. Let's go again. Before we go to the different things he said. Let's go again. The issue in Ephesus is what? Verse 4. What is it? Ephesians 2, 4. What is it? Doctrine. The kind of teaching. Right? Let's just review it. Right? Very good. The issue in Pergamos will also be what? Verse 14 and 15. What is it? Doctrine. Is it clear? The issue in Thyatira, verse 21, will also be what? Huh? Doctrine or? Do you know that allowing false doctrine is a doctrine? Someone said, I don't think we should be arguing over doctrine on Facebook. I said, that is a doctrine. Do you even know what a doctrine is? What you have said now is a doctrine. Any instruction or explanation is a doctrine. I don't want to be involved. It's a doctrine. I think we should all allow each other to believe what they want to believe. That is a doctrine. Does it make sense what I'm saying? Anything that is said is a doctrine. Any explanation, allusion, explanation, revelation, revelation is a doctrine. What about Sardis? Every time I've been reading this, it's about born again. It looks like Sardine. You know why? Sardis. S-A-R-D-I-S. Revelation 3:3. What is the key issue again? Huh? Doctrine. Philadelphia. Doctrine. Even the commendation was also on doctrine. Laodicea. That one is really doctrine. Smyrna. I know your words of poverty and all. It is silent, but it's also doctrinal. So, hence, it has to be addressed to the angel of the church. And Paul did say to Timothy, so when you have something that you have detected that is a defect in the church, what is usually done? 2 Corinthians 8. Are you learning this? Are you learning something? 2 Corinthians 8. Verse 6. Insomuch as we desire, this is Paul. Sorry, verse 6. Insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would finish in you the same grace. The word finish doesn't mean finish off. It actually means to complete, to make perfect, mature. Therefore, as you are bound in everything, faith, utterance, knowledge, and diligence, in your love to us, see that you are bound in this grace also. So he sent Titus to teach them concerning giving. So, whenever there is a shortfall in the church, you send someone. So the cure to this will also be teaching. Doctrine. Same thing. He sent Timothy. Philippians 2. I trust in the Lord, verse 6, verse 2, 19. Lord Jesus will send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. So men are sent for those things to be accomplished. They are done by men. So the issue is doctrine, teaching. So let's get back. Let me go back again. When we mentioned he that overcometh, and I said, you should look at the word, let he that has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying. Was that very clear to you? So that means every church, right, owns whatever he says concerning he that overcome. Right? So he that overcomes is not he that overcomes the tribulation in Thyatira. He that overcometh must be something that is common to all the churches. Is that clear? Is that very clear? Is that clear, please? Very good. So let's get back to it. The word is Nikao. Victory. Is used by this writer in 1 John 2:12. It is used all the time for the work of Christ. All, not some of the time, all the time by John. 1 John 2:12. Oh, that's it, 2:12. 2:13. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. I write to young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I'm writing to you because you have. Past tense. Then verse 14. You have overcome the wicked one. 1 John 2:14. 1 John 4:4. You are God. Little children, and I overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Pastor. He that is in you. So, Mikau, you have overcome. 1 John 5:4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh? But he that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Does it make sense to you? Huh? Okay. So let's look at him again in the book of Revelation. Revelation 5:5. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold the Lamb of the tribe of Judah. That's the only time you ever hear them call him this. Of the tribe of Judah. The root of David, seriously, had prevailed to open the book and lose the seven seals thereof. Same word. Revelation 12:11. I'll start from 10. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. Can we take verse 11 together? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now, did he overcome him by not loving their lives unto death? No. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, which is the account of their testimony. In other words, the blood of the Lamb is the reason for their testimony, and based on this, they did not love their lives unto the death. So we all can see that the word Nikao is used for what God has done in Christ. But Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15:57, he said, thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Nay, in all these things, Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through him that has loved us. So when you say, I will grant to him, no, he that overcometh, is the believer. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? That's why it's for all the churches. I grant unto. I give unto. Rather than the word I will, it's I grant unto. Which is a remembrance or a reminder of something Jesus has done. Let's see the things he highlighted. Revelation 2. I will give to eat of the tree of life, or I give to eat, better word, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You see the word tree of life, Revelation 2:12, 2:2, and 21:27. Revelation 22, verse 2, 21:27, and you can add Revelation 22, verse 14. The life is ours. Amen. Amen. Okay, the tree of life. Let's see what it does. 22, verse 2. Here are fruits, the healing for the nation. 22, verse 14. They may have had the right to tree of life, that may enter into the gates of the city. Then 21, verse 27. They are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lamb's Book of Life. You will discover the word Book of Life in Philippians 4:2. Then Jesus talked about those whose names are registered in heaven. Luke 10:20. Different. Then you have the Lamb's Book of Life. Why would you use the word lamb here? Because in this book, of course, you know Jesus is not a lamb, but lamb as touching his sacrifice. So obviously, when you say Lamb's Book of Life, it refers to his blood. Those who have been washed by his blood. That's what he's saying. And you are smart enough not to be looking for a textbook. The word means record. When you say book, it means record. So anyone who has been recorded in his life, not a book where you are open, you record, registered, is more of a verb in its application than a noun. Just like Hebrews 12, 22 and 23. The spirits of the just men made perfect, or sorry, the church of the firstborn which are registered in heaven. Just about the same thing he's saying. Revelation 2:7, okay? So every believer has eaten of the tree of life. Say, I have taken of the tree of life. Look at verse 11. Shall not be hurt of the second death. That's not difficult. Chapter 20, verse 14 and 15. You see everything in the book. 20, verse 14 and 15. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. So this is for every believer. Whose book again? The Lamb. Whose book again? The Lamb. The Lamb's book. Revelation 1:5. Who loved us? The Lamb. Who loved us? And washed us from our sins forever. Amen. Revelation 1:5 and 6. 5:9 says the same thing. We'll look at it shortly. Revelation 12:11. We overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the reason of our testimony. Pergamos, verse 17. I will give to eat of the eating manna and will give him a white stone. And in the stone, it says, a new name written with no man knoweth, saving he that receives it. Everyone as a believer. 3:12 repeats the same thing. Write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh out from heaven, and I'll write him my new name. Now, Revelation 22 verse 4, same book, and he shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. It shall be no more cursed, the throne of God and of the Lamb, verse 3, shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. See. Look at verse 5. And there shall be no light there, and they shall they need no candle, neither light of the sun. Why? Because they are the light. Are you there? For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Just like Revelation 1:6. Theathria. Go back to Revelation 2. Verse 26. He that overcometh and keep my works, unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule over them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter shall be broken to shivers, even as I receive of the Father. Same thing about reigning. I'll give him the morning star. Same thing. The works, the idea that keeps his works, my works, that what Jesus has done, that's faith. Revelation 3:21 is the same thing. I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I've overcame, and I will sit down with my Father in his throne. The same thing. Revelation 22 verse 16. I've sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. So who is the morning star? Is that very clear? Okay. Sardis, Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh, the name, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. I'll confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The word is exalipho, exalipho. It means exactly what he has said. Your name will be there forever. That's all he has said. Say, but whose will he blot out? Did he ever tell you blot out anyone? That's negative reasoning. I will not is what he will do. He didn't say I will. So I will not is what he has said. So we can say that our names can never be taken away from the book of life. And he says forever. Or he will do it forever. Revelation 7:17, where the word exalpho was now used. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall keep them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all from their eyes, all tears. I wish we can expand that further, but let's leave it. 21 verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You discover that what he was saying about not taking the name out of the book of life was related with this. But just give it some reasoning on your own. Are we together? So Philadelphia, which is similar, Revelation 3:12 to 2:17, so we can skip that. Then Laodicean too is Revelation 3:21, similar to Revelation 2:26. So they are all saying the same thing. So when you talk about the Eden manna, the tree of life, sit with the Father, the name is not taken out, it's the same thing said differently. Do you discover that both the Eden manna, the tree of life, sitting with the Father, the morning star is Jesus? Everything he said about will be given is his finished work, is himself. So they are not rewards. Are you there? They are not rewards. Everything he said is a gift of righteousness. There is nothing he said that was a reward. There is nothing he said that was not him. Whether you are talking about the name in the book of life, whether you are talking about the tree of life, or the Eden manna, or not suffer the second death, everything he said there was about him. That means he reaffirmed the rights and privileges of the believing one. So is that consistent? I'm asking a question. Is that consistent? So let's start to try something up quickly. Revelation 5:9 and Revelation 1:6. Firm words used by John, just like in his epistle. Revelation 1:6. I'll start from 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and first begotten of the dead, which we said is the word prototokos, which already implies that we are begotten of the Father. And the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us, luo, that is, he broke away our sins from us in his own blood. Hallelujah. Where is that found? In his own blood. So everything is with what he has done. Verse 6, and has made us kings and priests. So besides the fact that our sins were broken away, he now made us. For you, a manufactured, which is a new creation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Unto God and his Father, to him, that's kings and priests, to him be glory and honor and dominion forever and ever. Revelation 5. Verse 9. And they sung a new song. Some people think a new song is singing in tongues. No. Saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals whereof, for you were slain. A new song will recognize the death of Jesus. And has redeemed us to God, the redemptive sacrifice and the work he has done, by your blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Let's take verse 10 together. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. So look at a new song. Therefore, that means on the lips of every new creature, even if you have never sung it before, it's there. He was slain. He has redeemed us unto God. He has made us kings and priests unto our God. So those are the people he wrote the letters to. John wrote the letters to. Jesus didn't write any letter. He asked that he should write. So in writing, he maintains everything we have seen in all the epistles. Number one. And then we run through it quickly. Number one, they were written to churches. One. So it's not an evangelistic letter. Right? It's not get born again letter. They're written to churches. And in the church, we have found men whose sins were washed. Correct? Who were made kings and priests. Correct? Very good. So, in all the letters, do we have identification? Huh? Do we have identification? Yes, you look out for this identification. He identifies who they are. Paul will say to the saints in Christ. James will say to the strangers. Peter will say to the elect. Identification. He will mention the Father. All mention the Father. The Father is a key aspect of our doctrine. John 14:20. In that day you realize I am in my Father and I in you and you in me. That is, everything must be to the end that we will realize that. Even when our conduct is unbecoming, the teaching is to yet make us realize. We have identification. Then we have commendation, if any at all. But a church does not have any. Commendation of what you have done well. He commended Corinth. He said they were not behind in any gift. They had utterance. Then he came back and said, you are yet carnal. But there was commendation. So there will be commendation. And then there will be correction or rebuke. Correction, rebuke. About the conduct, not the condition. The conduct of the believer. Then, what's the last one? Assurance. Amen. I said amen. Paul will say, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ with your spirit. So you have assurance. So, are we safe with the seven letters? Huh? Any cause for agitation? Was there anything written in that place that had a tarasso? Did anything trouble your mind? Save your religious thinking that you got from a certain. Nothing there should unsettle a believer one bit. Rather, the things written there are for our edification and, of course, correction. So, nothing in John's letters, nothing even in his utterances, projected, promoted, or permitted anything close to believers being threatened. Threatened as touching their salvation. Jesus did not hold the tree of life like this for the end. Or says, the second death, you escape it when you are done. or he held the hidden manna. You know, those are gifts of righteousness. They are things that were given to believers. In fact, they became yours the minute you believe the gospel. So it's not the end product of your work. But the crown of life is not a right in Christ. The Stephanos. Can a believer lose his reward? Yes. A believer can lose his reward. Somebody has asked me, what is the crown of life? I asked him a question. That, why are you asking? Is it so that you will know why you should not look forward to it? When we were younger in ministry, there's a crown of life. Every believer will have a crown. That based on your works, there will be a stone. Well, as long as I have a crown. And personally, I'm not giving to stones. So, I could do without. No. Stephanos is often a reward of work. That has to do with either a promotion. There will be a distinction among believers. That's a fact. A dear friend of mine, in his excitement in 1997, explained the Stephanos to be the glorified body in degrees. That some will have a glorified body better than the others. And he had a scripture for 1 Corinthians 15. The stars vary in degree. As it was done, of course, he didn't say it in the public. Within the apostolic caucus of those days. 96 actually. We used to call ourselves circle of whatever. The emoji says zero. Because it came with an exegesis, leading to an exegesis. But the point is, the Stephanos is used in those days for when people accomplish things, when they have done well, then they reward them. Oftentimes with more authority. That's what Stephanos meant. And Jesus implied that when he mentioned the parable of the talent. He said, now go to the joy of your Lord. He gave him more cities. And that shows that there will be, just like the body of Christ, we are all the same, but we don't have the same office. We don't have the same function. There will be function. Father, what is it? I'm not teaching that one today. Give us some 10, 15 years. When we are done teaching salvation, then when you are fully born again, and nothing will tarazo you again, then we can look after. So basically, do those letters serve us? Can I read those letters for my benefit? Yes. With no scare. That, no. It's just institutions. It's those who are not born again, they are calm down. It's talking to believers. Okay? And the believers, if your conduct is like a Laodicea. See Laodicea? You got all the money, but there's no works to even say he's not perfect. So I will spew it out. there's nothing. Just all you get is rebuke. So the works are pulled out by Jesus' vexation. It was what you have not done. Not that what you have done, you've done nothing. Save to have money, and let me leave the rest. So it's simply a doctrine, praise God. So nothing in the book of Revelation departs from the faith. It's consistent. It's brought to bear the same truth of the gospel taught in Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st Timothy, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st John, 2nd John, 3rd John, and Jude. Everything is consistent. The book of Revelation. So, is the book of Revelation an epistle to the church? Yes. Martin Luther, the famous Protestant preacher, he was a Protestant. And when you are protesting, sometimes you overtalk. He said that the book of James is not New Testament. Why he said that, I understand. He was too angry to see it. Then, of course, he mentioned the book of Revelation too. That it's not New Testament. What I can submit is this, it has lesser authority, I think we can see that, than the other epistles, but it is not less of an epistle. It's the same way you can say the letter written to the lady and the elect one. I mean, it's a personal letter, no doubt, but it carries truth of the gospel. It carries things that, you know, I'm not going to be looking for Diotrephes all over the place, but there is a Diotrephes example that I can look out for. So this is an epistle that can be read and also we can understand from. Let me just take questions.